2, underwriting, new financing transactions, types of offerings, and registration of securities. Roughly 25% of the Series 79 exam, 43 out of 175 questions, is devoted to the important underwriting and capital raising functions of investment banks. This subject area focuses on securities laws and SEC regulations and encompasses public offerings, including IPOs, underwriting syndicates, and private placements and other types of offerings and securities that are exempt from registration under the Securities Act. This subject area also includes knowledge of the main stock trading markets and listing requirements for the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ. Given the heavy regulatory emphasis in this chapter, you should allow yourself plenty of time to absorb the information presented. You should make sure you understand the distinctions between various types of offerings and what specific requirements apply to each type. In terms of number of test questions, this is the second most important subject area for the Series 79 exam. Section 2.1, Public Offerings. In a public offering, a company raises money by creating and selling securities to the public. The company that is offering the securities is referred to as the issuer. An issuer that does this for the first time goes public in an initial public offering, or IPO. The issuer's shares are then traded in the secondary market, either over the counter or on a stock exchange, such as NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. Once a company's securities are publicly traded, it may issue additional securities in a follow-on offering. The Securities Act of 1933 and the related SEC rules govern public offerings. The primary driving factor behind the requirements of the Securities Act is disclosure. Virtually all of the requirements and restrictions that apply to public offerings boil down to an impulse toward disclosure. In essence, the law does not require an offering to be a good investment, but it does require disclosure of information by which potential investors can evaluate whether or not it is a good investment. If an investor knowingly chooses to invest in a dog of a stock, that's the investor's problem. Regulatory requirements for securities offerings. The Series 79 exam requires a general understanding of the contours of the regulatory landscape for public offerings. The key elements tested center on registration and disclosure requirements, the contents and permitted use of a prospectus, liability for false and misleading statements and omissions, and ongoing reporting requirements. Registration requirements for securities offerings. Securities Act, Section 5, The Life Cycle of a Public Offering. Section 5 is the central pillar of the registration structure set up by the Securities Act. Although Section 5 only applies to offers or sales that involve interstate commerce or communication, as a practical matter, virtually all securities marketing activities and sales fall into this category. Certain types of transactions or securities are exempt from registration. We discuss those exemptions later in this chapter. Section 5 contains three key provisions, which create three distinct periods in a public offering life cycle. First, Section 5C prohibits offers to sell or buy a security unless a registration statement for that security has been filed first. During this pre-filing period, the management of a prospective issuer of a security may be working feverishly with teams of lawyers, accountants, and investment bankers, but the marketing and sale of the security are forbidden. Any offer to sell during this pre-filing period is sometimes referred to as gun jumping. Once a registration statement is filed with the SEC, but before registration becomes effective, the offering is in limbo. The security may not be sold, but limiting marketing activity is permissible. During this registration period, waiting period, or cooling off period, written offers to sell the security are essentially limited to the preliminary prospectus or red herring, free writing prospectuses, roadshow presentations, and a few types of generic announcements. The preliminary prospectus is the main document used to promote the offering during the waiting period. Oral offers are allowed. The post-effective period begins when the SEC declares the registration effective. At this point, the security may actually be sold and written and oral offers made, but the security must be, quote, accompanied or preceded by, unquote, a prospectus that meets the requirements of the Securities Act and SEC regulations. Although Section 5 does not define an offer, the term is defined elsewhere to include every attempt or offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy a security, including any publicity that may arouse interest on the part of potential investors. The requirements of Section 5, when combined with this broad concept of offers, lead to significant limitations on how and when a securities offering may be marketed. Securities Act, Section 5, Public Offering Periods. When? During the pre-filing period, before registration statement for offering has been filed with the SEC. Registration period, also known as waiting period or cooling off period, after registration has been filed with the SEC, but before it becomes effective. Post-effective period, after the SEC declares the registration effective. Written offers allowed? Not during the pre-filing period. Yes, but limited during the registration period. Preliminary prospectus, permitted free writing prospectuses, generic advertisements, roadshow presentations. Yes, during the post-effective period. Oral offers allowed? No, during pre-filing. Yes, during registration and post-effective period. Sales allowed? No, during pre-filing and registration period. Yes, during the post-effective period. Security must be accompanied or preceded by prospectus. Securities Act, Section 7. Section 5 mandates a registration statement, but has nothing to say about the contents of such a statement. Section 7 of the Securities Act addresses this information gap by requiring that a registration statement include the information and be accompanied by the documents specified in Schedule A of the Securities Act. A different schedule applies to securities issued by foreign governments. Schedule A lists 32 different types of information and documents. These can be grouped into the following broad categories. 1. General information about the issuer, including name, state, or other jurisdiction of incorporation or organization, and location of main office. Names and addresses of directors and the company's chief executive, financial and accounting officers, compensation of directors and officers, and a description of the company's business. 2. Information about the issuer's stock, including names and addresses of shareholders who own more than 10% of any class of stock or of the aggregate outstanding stock. The amount of securities and nature of interest held by such owners and by directors, officers, and underwriters. The issuer's capitalization and securities covered by options outstanding or to be created. 3. Information about the issuer's finances, including a current balance sheet, a profit and loss statement, and information about any other offerings by the issuer within the preceding 2 years. 4. Information about the offering, including the specific purposes of the offering, the proposed offering price, the amount of stock of each class to be offered, the amount of expenses, commissions, discounts, and other amounts to be paid with respect to the offering, the estimated net proceeds, information about the proposed use of the proceeds to purchase any business or property, the names and addresses of the underwriters on the offering, and the legal counsel that reviewed the legality of the issue, and the amount of funded debt outstanding and to be created. 5. Copies of relevant documents, including underwriter agreements, legal opinions of counsel on the issue's legality, material contracts not made in the ordinary course of business, the issuer's articles of incorporation, and a copy of the underlying agreements or indentures affecting any security being offered. Section 7 also provides that if any accountant, engineer, or other professional is cited as having prepared or certified any part of the registration statement, or as having prepared or certified a report or valuation used in connection with the statement, the professional's written consent must be filed with the registration requirement. Finally, Section 7 confers authority on the SEC to make any other rules or regulations it deems necessary or appropriate. Regulation SK and Regulation SX, Contents of Registration Statements. Regulation SK, narrative disclosure. Regulation SK is essentially an instructional manual for completing the specific narrative disclosure items that must be included in various forms filed with the SEC, including the registration statement for a public offering. The directions for a form of registration statement refer to item numbers found in Regulation SK. Under each item number, Regulation SK gives the specific instructions and guidance for disclosing information for that item. While the details of Regulation SK are beyond the scope of this guide, the item numbers that apply to most registration statements fall into 8 general categories. General, for example, guidance on making reasonable projections of future results. Business, securities of the registrant. Financial information, management and certain security holders. Registration statement and prospectus provisions, exhibits, and miscellaneous. The SEC also publishes industry guides for select industries, such as oil and gas. Companies in these sectors should consult the appropriate industry guide in addition to Regulation SK. The items described in Regulation SK generally require narrative or brief tabular answers. Regulation SX, financial statements. The vaguely salacious-sounding Regulation SX provides, in excruciating detail, the required form and content of financial statements that are filed as part of the registration statement. The specific filing requirements are complex and vary depending on the issuer type, but all issuers must file the following types of financial statements. Audited balance sheets for the 2 most recent fiscal years. If the issuer has not been in existence for 2 years, it must file an audited financial statement dated within 135 days of filing. In certain circumstances, such as when the issuer is filing within 45 days of the end of its fiscal year, the issuer must also file interim balance sheets, which need not be audited. Audited income and cash flow statements for each of the 3 prior fiscal years, or if the issuer has not been in existence for 3 years, for as long as it has been in existence. The issuer may need to file unaudited interim income and cash flow statements. An analysis of changes in stockholder equity. If the issuer has been or probably will be involved in a business combination or has acquired or probably will acquire another business, it should file the financial statements for those businesses. All financial statements that are required to be audited must be prepared and attested to by qualified independent auditors. In most cases, the statements must be prepared according to or translated into US GAAP. Generally accepted accounting principles.